Welcome to the party that is Press Start. You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. This is Press Start, as I mentioned, your weekly look at games and the video game industry, broadcasting live from the Cal Poly Studios in San Luis Obispo, California. My name is Justin. We got a good show today. Got some good music, in particular, some songs that are quite addictive listening to them. And we've also got a lot of news this week. Some interesting stuff happened, including the PS3 reserve pre-order program at EB Games and GameStop. It was pretty nuts. And of course, going into the week, I think it was fair to say everyone knew that with only 400,000 units, they would sell out pretty quickly. But I don't think I at least didn't expect that the pre-orders would sell out so quickly. But we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Dave Hampton will also be joining me not too long from now. And of course, if you want to email the show, you can always email the show. The Press Start inbox is always open at pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. We did get an email last week from Chad, and he had a couple of questions. One was about Okami. He asked, I was wondering how easy it is to control the celestial brush in Okami and whether or not using the brush makes some parts too easy, since you can just slice things in half during a fight. Never fear, the people at Clover made it so that it wasn't easy to abuse, but it was also very intuitive to utilize during gameplay. And on this topic, a lot of people have been saying, oh, Okami would be such a great game for the Wii or for the DS. And to a degree, that's true. I mean, with the drawing parts and the brush. But the developers of Okami, they specifically designed the game with the PS2 DualShock controller in mind, because it is an action game, first and foremost. So the Celestial Brush is very easy to use. I believe you hold the R1 button, and the analog stick moves the brush, and when you hold square, the brush actually touches the screen. So it's very easy. I haven't had any trouble with it at all, and I'm close to 40 hours into the game. It's a very great system. It's like a artistic, sort of different take on the whole Zelda tool system, and instead of having to go into your inventory and equip the tools and, you know, bow and arrow, bombs, what have you, it's just the brush, and the brush can do everything that you need it to do. As far as make the game too easy, a little bit. I mean, they don't let you abuse it. The enemies, as you progress through the game, are they require different strategies to beat, and the brush, you can't just slice every enemy in half. That only works at the very beginning, the first 5 hours or so, and then you've got to actually, there's some strategy to defeating the enemies. But the game itself is very easy, I will not deny that. Part of the reason I think that it is so easy, I mean, you are playing a goddess, Amaterasu, so, and you have all these, like, god-like powers. So, I mean, it is easy, but I think there's also a reason, and that's because you're supposed to be a deity with all these, you know, powers and what have you. So I hope that answers your question. And then the other question that you had was, also, do you think that the controller for Guitar Hero 2 will ever be made as a wireless? I think they probably will. You've already got a wireless Guitar Hero 1 controller for the PS2 made by, I believe the company is called the Ant Commander. The Ant Commander, it's a strange name. But they made a wireless Flying V controller for the first Guitar Hero, and especially now with this sort of subculture popping up around modifying the guitar controllers, creating your own, designs and things of that nature, I think that you'll see a wireless Guitar Hero 2 controller, and especially because the standard Xbox 360 controllers are already wireless. It makes sense to me that they would pick one out. So that hopefully answers your question. Chad, thank you for listening to the show once again, and thanks for emailing. And if anyone else out there wants to email or wants to, put in a comment, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. That's the address that you can reach me at, and feel free to do it during the show. More than love listener feedback. All right, hope you stick with us. Dave Hampton will be here in just a minute, and we will be here till 11 o'clock this morning, bringing you up to date on all the comings and goings of the video game industry. So stick around.
All right, let's do this. One, two, three.
This is Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. That was I Want Love the studio remix version off the Silent Hill 3 soundtrack, of course, composed by Akira Yamaoka, a very talented musician, and the vocals by Melissa Williamson, who is a mainstay in the Silent Hill series music. Joining me right now is everyone's favorite vile spawn of the netherworld, Dave Hampton.
You have any idea how vile it is to be a spawn?
I think that's a little harsh. You're not a you're not a spawn. You're like a vile, fully grown, netherworld being.
That's true. I haven't sprouted my wings yet.
Yeah, you're getting
it. And nobody's camping the spawn, which is cool.
I wish I had a rimshot sound effect right about now.
Let's just bring in some drums. Give me a
They'll fit in here, let me tell you. We could stick one under my arm and the other one under yours, and that will be...
Yeah, there we go. This is a tiny studio. I wish we had a website or something like that where we can show off what the studio looked like.
Yeah.
I sketched it the other day.
I saw that. I thought, in the making for a game based around perhaps what we do in here, huh?
Hey, that would be fun.
Pre-planning stages.
Didn't we make some noise about that last year?
I don't make any noise about it, but...
Okay.
I might have thought silently and internally in my head about it. But anyways, the sketch was good. It accurately depicted where we are located right now, and I thought that was kind of funny.
I had fun with it.
Yeah, it was a good
sketch. I can't draw for the life of me, for anybody curious about that. Chad, you know what I'm talking about.
Chad, who emailed us this week. So how was your week?
My week was pretty good. School got hard. I'm doing this little internship with an engineering firm, trying to build a giant robot. And I spent a bit of time working with them, so that took up pretty much all my time. I didn't really get to play a whole lot of video games.
So you're actually trying to build a giant robot?
Well, they are. Oh. I'm just assisting. I'm an intern.
So
unpaid,
you get,
no less.
You get to do all the hard work for little to no pay.
That's right.
Yeah. And when the robot comes out, is it going to look like a robot that people might recognize? Are we talking about like a Gundam here, or are we talking about like the little thing from the Aliens movies that, remember when she fought the Queen Alien?
Closer to the Aliens thing, okay. I think. I'm not entirely sure. I'm just doing little mathy things for them here and there. But it's fun. They're a lot
boring.
Of nice
boring.
Yeah. But that took up most of my time this last week. So between that and school, that was pretty much it. I'm so boring. I'm a tragically boring person.
That's okay, Dave. You're interesting when you come on the show, and that's why we have you. So
thank you.
We'll run with it. If you have any questions or comments for Dave, you were quite popular last week. The show last week went up on gamesarefun.com. In fact, it's last week's show still on the front page.
Excellent. We rule.
Yeah. So thanks to Richard Brownell of Games Are Fun. He's the EIC head honcho, big man in charge. So, but you got sort of popular. Yeah, people liked you.
Well, yay. I like people. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. That's
nice the difference between you and I, Dave.
Yeah. I'm an optimist.
Yeah. I'm a realist, I guess. All right. So let's get to the news. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, the PS3 lifted off and took its flight into orbit with its popularity. GameStop and EB Games, the policy for pre-orders... was each store was going to get 8 or so units, with some stores getting 16, select stores around the country getting 16 units. But for the most part, GameStop and EB Games are getting 8 units that they were allowed to reserve to customers. And you had to, first come, first serve. You had to put down a deposit. And I think that was it.
Yeah.
So that started...
I don't think they had any of those weird schemes for, because I heard some rumors that some places were doing this with the 360 last November when it came out. Yeah, if you pre-order like 6 games, then you can reserve one. But if not, then go to the back of the line, peasant.
Or in Hawaii, they did a test run for a week where you could only reserve the PS3 and Wii with trade-in credit from your games. And it had to be a certain amount of trade-in credit.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quite unpopular in the land of the internet because GameStop and EB Games... As much as I like the people who work at our local GameStop, as a corporation, complete ripoff for trade-ins. You're better off selling your games over eBay or whatnot. So,
any place that offers money for stuff that's a company is never going to beat eBay. I mean, heck, you know what? What place is going to say, we'll buy any game and then, expect to sell them?
Well, but, I mean, it's such a... I mean, when you think about it, I feel bad for the people in Hawaii who wanted to pre-order during this thing because they had to come in with a stack of games that was like as high as the Empire State Building just to have enough. And it wasn't like a large sum. It was like it was like the cost of a single game. That was how much trading credit you have to have. But if you've ever traded in stuff to EB Games and GameStop, you would know that it would take a ridiculously large pile of software. So,
oh, no, I agree with you. I meant only to emphasize. Blarg! Companies.
Was that your demon spawn sound?
Oh, no. I need a bit more root beer in me.
Okay.
To make that noise.
I'd like some root beer. So, the...
Big mugs in the studio.
You're making me thirsty. You're making me very
thirsty.
What
is that? Root beer. You ever played Root Beer Tapper?
Is it a game?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
Oh, it's this really good old arcade game. Well, you should play it sometime.
Okay.
Maybe we should play that in the studio. We'll compromise.
Is that a good soundtrack? Could I play it during one of our music breaks?
I think the only noises it makes are... It's really
old. I can see myself getting quite tired of that.
I want to say it makes some terrifying noise when you lose. Something that I did not
enjoy
listening to.
That's a good strategy. Games when you lose should just, like, scare the bejesus out of you, you know? Like, to make you afraid to go back to the software.
People will actually be afraid to play the new Fatal Frame.
Well, I was afraid to play the first Fatal Frame. But back on topic.
Okay.
Hawaii, I feel bad for the people in Hawaii. But anyways, GameStop, PS3 and PS3 in the domestic 48 or 49, if you count Alaska, I suppose. They were taking pre-orders, I believe, starting Monday. Pre-orders completely exhausted by yesterday. So in a 24-hour span, all the PS3s that were on reserve at those particular retailers have been sold. If you're looking to get a PS3, I feel really sorry for you because you probably won't get one. But you can still check out other. I mean, this is just GameStop and EB Games. You can still check out other retailers. Some take pre-orders, some don't. But I have a feeling that if you don't already have your system pre-ordered and you don't get it pre-ordered and you want one on launch day and you don't have it pre-ordered in the next week or so, it's going to be awful tough to get one. So
sure. So by the time you save up enough money to afford a PS3, you can probably get a degree in electrical engineering, right? So you just buy one of those broken units off of eBay where like the power supply explodes or something like that and just fix it up yourself. That'd be a great plan.
Yeah, exactly.
4 years, a PS3 can be yours.
I would like it if Sony had, like, a payment plan, maybe. You know, like a financing option for the PS3?
Buy a PS3, get a house.
You laugh, but I think that in the future when video game consoles get more and more expensive, and, you know, I think you will see financing options for consoles. I think by the next generation, by PS4 and whatever, you know, Xbox 720 or whatever is coming out, I think you will see.
Well, Mike, Sony's Ken F. Kutaragi, the F is for freaking, came out and said he wanted people to consider taking out a loan to get a PS3. He wanted them to want it that much.
That's easy for him to say when he drives to work in his sports car and, you know, is a plush desk in some high-rise office.
Oh, everything's easy for him to say.
Well, yeah.
Like we were joking last year. He didn't even know what the PS3 is going to do. He just makes stuff up.
Ken Kutaragi, he's a great talking head for Sony because he generates so much, like, controversy and attention, but... I would really like to meet him in person and see if he's, like, just kind of lost his mind or something.
Maybe he'll fight Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
That would be a good fight. That would be a good fight. Boll versus Kutaragi.
Whatever happened to Uwe Boll, or Uwe Boll, or however it is you're supposed to pronounce his name?
He's probably working on another crappy movie.
Yeah, Blood Rain 2, I understand.
Oh, there's a sequel to this movie?
I guess.
There's a sequel to Blood Rain?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Blood...
I feel sorry for the film industry that they have to go through that, and I feel sorry for him that he's actually directing it.
I just mean, like, all the news about him dropped off after, like, 2 weeks ago. He had that fight with Lotax, and Lotax got clocked, and
he beat a couple of people. He beat a couple of people up, and people are like, oh, well, he really can fight. Okay, we're not going to make fun of him anymore. So
great YouTube videos, the first video made by Uwe Boll anybody wanted to see. But... I really should go see one of his movies just because I've not... I make fun of him all the time, and I really haven't seen him. So I should go put my money where my video rental store is.
Video rental store mouth is.
Video rental store mouth. Now, if there's a name that hasn't been taken on City of Heroes,
video rental
that's
store
it.
Mouth. No one take it. It's Dave's, okay?
No, I don't play that game. You can have it.
Okay.
I should sell it on eBay. I get a PS3 with it.
So that was the PS3 stuff. That was the pre-order deal, and I can't believe how fast they went. You know, only 400,000 units, as I mentioned, in North America, and they are all pre-order. They're all at your local GameStop. You know, they're all gone. They're all ordered and done with. So Canadians, however, have not started their pre-order plan.
That's right.
So
Canada is not one of the lower 48 states.
That's true.
Although, contrary to popular belief,
it should be. So if you live in a northerly latitude close to the border, you may be able to hop across into Canada once they get their pre-order started. Although I have a feeling they're going to get even less PS3 units than America did.
Watch as Sony region locks Canada out of the rest of the world just to spite us.
Wouldn't that just be horrible?
That would be idiotic.
That would be horrible. So Canada is still a viable option. If you check the website GameStop.com or EBGames.com frequently, you will get some details coming soon about when you can order your PS3s and how you can go about doing that. In other news, Nintendo of Japan had a sort of a conference yesterday. Sort of no one really knew about it. And
did anybody show up?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm sure people in Japan knew about it, but wasn't like, you know, a big thing. It wasn't like the E3 conference or the Tokyo Game Show conference. It was just sort of a press conference. But they let out some interesting information about what's coming in Japan as far as the DS and the Wii goes. The DS is getting this game called it's not really a game, but it's called DS Menu Collection. And it's a
what? It's a collection of all the menus from all their different games, like for nostalgia value or something. You have 1,500 title screens in one game. Press start, go to the next one. Some games have like the level select menu or like the options menu.
This is the food
actually
menu.
You know, how many game players would pay money for a cartridge that had the sound tests from like all the Super Nintendo games?
I think that would sell probably fairly well, actually.
I was kidding until just a minute ago.
No, I think
I'd buy that. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. You buy quote-unquote games like that.
Yeah, I do.
But this one is called DS Menu Collection, and it is a collection of 1,000 different food recipes.
Oh,
And the coolest part about this is that it's Wi-Fi compatible, but no one knows why.
So you can, like, beam them to your oven?
Wouldn't that be awesome if your oven was Wi-Fi and then you put the recipe in and it bakes it for you? Chefs everywhere would be, like, completely enraged.
You know, my oven at my house exploded a few days ago. The heating element popped.
Did it really?
Right after my other two roommates bought two more DSs. So that was four DSs in the house.
But
and the oven goes out.
So are you going to try and bake stuff with your DSs?
No, I'm just thinking that they've already got this technology in the ovens. It's just not perfected yet.
Oh, I see. It's a hidden feature.
We all turn on the Wi-Fi once the thing explodes.
Make sure you don't have like a pot pie in there or something.
It's a good thing I didn't buy Cooking Mama.
Or else Cooking Mama might have exploded. You don't want that. I mean, inside your DS, all her internal organs everywhere, it ruins the recipe. No, this game, it's Wi-Fi compatible, but the coolest part is that when it goes on sale, it's also... There's another sort of piece to this game that's going to go on sale, and it's a magnet holder that actually connects to your DS, and then you can put your DS on the refrigerator. So when you're cooking, when you're playing this game and have the recipe on DS Menu Collection, it's actually you can stick it to your fridge and feel like you're actually looking at like a recipe.
Get some crayon styli and open up PictoChat on the touchscreen down at the bottom, and then your kids can draw their drawings on there.
Yeah, and they can like pretend they're having fun and whatnot. But I thought that was cool, and the magnet.
That's cute.
Yeah, it is. There's no word on a U.S. release, but I imagine probably not because it's one of those niche non-games that Nintendo is sort of, you know, coming out with.
Those are selling well.
Yeah.
Did you read Penny Arcade the other day?
You know, I'm so behind on the webcomics.
So Taiko gave Animal Crossing to his grandmother, who is a florist by trade. And there you have it. And, you know, kind of a non-standard game. Well, it hooks this woman. And she calls him up, and he said for the next 2 weeks or something like that, every time she called him and told him a story, he had to ask, see if I can remember the quote right, if this was something that actually happened or something that happened in her imaginary animal world. So, I mean, Nintendo's got this figured out.
Yeah, all
the Generations games and this cooking
I don't doubt that they've got it figured out. I think, you know, they're doing a good job with all these non-games. Electroplankton is sort of a musical non-game.
I still play that.
Clubhouse Games just came out.
Oh, yeah?
That's the 42 all-time classics. You got card games, board games, parlor games.
It beats the heck out of that elf bowling game somebody made.
Yeah. I try and forget that elf bowling ever existed. It's become somewhat of a joke.
The market did too.
My favorite. I love when people ask, like, "Oh, recommend me some DS games," and people like post pictures of Elf Bowling 1 and 2.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I dated a girl in high school who just loved Elf Bowling on her computer. She was a huge Elf Bowling fan. So, Kelsey, wherever you are, shout out to you. And Elf Bowling.
Bowl those elves, Kelsey.
Keep on bowling. Goodness. Okay, so where was I?
I got lost somewhere around Elf Bowling. So.
Elf Bowling.
So Nintendo.
Okay, yeah,
and non-games,
Nintendo non-games. 42 all-time classics. It came out. You've got card games, like all these famous card games, poker. And the coolest part is that it's Wi-Fi compatible, so you can play with various other people who have it online. And a cool time waster. I think Nintendo's really the only company who could pull off, like, a card/board/parlor game collection. And people would be like, oh, I want that. You know, I mean, there have been plenty of games like that before that are just kind of budget titles. But, you know.
Well, sure. Nintendo puts it out. It's a mainstream title because they only make, you know, one or two of those a year.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, but it used to be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, some other company, you know, puts out some card game collection. Everyone's like, yeah, all right, whatever. I kind of like that. When Nintendo tackles a genre, you just kind of have the sense that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the game you think it's going to be, like Luigi's Mansion.
Nintendo's
a good game, just nobody liked it.
It is. And Nintendo's got such a high quality and standard for their games that, you know, it's a good game.
More correctly, nobody bought it at first because it wasn't a Mario game. But everybody liked it later on.
Yeah. Well, in the Mario games, I think some of their other franchises have more gone to the forefront than Mario. Specifically, Legend of Zelda, I think, has become sort of more popular now. But that's just my opinion.
I think I agree.
The other stuff Nintendo announced at this conference, it's interesting. They're only getting 18 Wii games by the end of the year in Japan, whereas in the U.S. I think we're getting something like 20 or 27.
How does that work?
We've got Madden, and they're not getting Madden and stuff.
Sure.
We got a lot of American-developed games.
Japan hasn't invented football yet. I forgot about that.
No, they're still in the just discovered fire stage.
Ooh, ow. We get our games from them.
I know. It was a joke. Japan, I'm sorry I offended you, okay?
No, I meant, like, how do they make games without fire?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't know. I mean...
No, I kid. Japan puts out some of the most amazing stuff ever.
It does.
Really like it. And I wish I could read Japanese so I could play Police Nuts. Kojima, why won't you translate it?
Because he doesn't speak English?
Jeremy Blaustein offered to do it for free. I think that was his name. For free.
Speaking of Hideo Kojima, just today there's an interview with Hideo Kojima from Famitsu that was translated by one of our great staff members at GamesAreFun.com. On the front page is our top story. So if you want... If you're interested in knowing what's going on behind the scenes at Kojima Productions, go ahead. It's got MGS3 stuff, info in there, and it's BioCat. It wasn't BioCat. It was, what was it? Sorry to whoever. It was David Cochran, newest staff member over at Games Are Fun. So David Cochran did a nice job translating the Famitsu interview with Hideo Kojima. Check it out, GamesAreFun.com. Finally, as I was saying... Come spring, and this Nintendo conference, they also announced that spring of next year, you will see Big Brain Academy on the Nintendo Wii, taking that, you know, non-game thing a step
further.
That's
cool.
So that's pretty cool.
I still play Brain Training all the time. I like that game.
And they also finally said that there will be 60 virtual console games by the end of 2006 for the Nintendo Wii. There's some more stuff, most of it Japan-only stuff, but if you want to check out all the details, go to GamesAreFun.com. It's right near the top of the page, Nintendo Japan Conference Recap. You can get all the info there.
I hope we can spoof the regions on the machines like you can with the 360 to an extent. Like, to get the Chrome Hounds demo, I registered a UK account, just made a new local account on the machine and gave it a street address in the UK, got my demo. It was cool.
That's cool.
And I hope we can do that on the Wii because some of the Japan-only stuff is traditionally awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of disappointing to hear that the Wii is going to be region locked.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the PS3 is not going to be region locked. And I think that's a good step because it's friendly to importers, it's friendly to developers who don't have the opportunity to get their games into, you know, markets that are in other regions. So it's kind of disappointing. Virtual console, by all indications and the sound of what's happening, is going to be region locked. So that means... You know, you won't be able to play games like Terranigma in the U.S.
Where was Terranigma released?
Europe and Japan, I believe.
Europe got a copy. Because I remember I played an emulated version of that game in English.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was a fan edit or if it actually came out.
I believe, I don't know if there are fan translations and whatnot, but I believe it came out in Europe, so.
Okay. It's that one makes
of those,
perfect sense.
Yeah, it's one of those few games that it was like a great classic SNES game that never came out in the U.S.
That game
it came out in Europe instead of the U.S. I don't know.
It was a sequel to Illusion of Gaia for anybody who's played that. I wanted to know what else was going on with it.
It was kind of, it wasn't like a direct sequel, but it was in that same series, the Soul Blazer series. But interesting tidbit, Illusion of Gaia was the first ever console video game I ever owned for the Super NES.
Really?
Yeah, great game. One of my all-time favorites.
I apologize for the noise that may have made just there. I turned my head to the left and smacked my headphones into the mic.
Your huge head is taking up so much room, Dave. Come on, let's get it out of here. All right, we're going to take another music break. We got some Adam Freeland, Fear, from the Rez soundtrack.
Fear my giant head.
Fear Dave's giant head, but Fear is also the mind killer. So.
Oh, I know this.
This is Press Start. We'll be right back.
The mind. Dollar. There is a mind killer. The mind. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Press Start KCP. that's the email. The email is pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, but you're listening to Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. I think that was right. Was that right, Dave?
I was reading the little tag right here. It says exactly that.
Okay, KCPR 91.3 FM. That was Fear by Adam Freeland, who's a British DJ. It's off the Rez soundtrack, the cool, trippy, synesthetic Rez game.
That game is cool.
It is a very cool game. And it came out for the Dreamcast and the PS2 and whatnot. So I still play it from time to time. It's a great game.
Yeah, me too. When it runs on my PS2.
It does not run all the time.
So it's one of those blue discs where it's a CD with a PS2 game.
Oh, yeah. It's a CD-ROM, not a DVD-ROM.
Both of my PlayStations have trouble with those. I got the second one because the first one couldn't play any CDs. This new one will, except for a few games.
Is it the thick PS2? Or is it the thin
one? They're both thick
PS2s. Yeah, some weird thing with the laser on those PS2s, it doesn't read the CD-ROMs for some reason.
Sometimes I heard it's a bevel problem sometimes, and I think it's my fault because I modded the second one.
Oh, yeah, Dave. You voided the warranty.
That's what I get for voiding the warranty,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I've actually seen, sometimes it'll make like a clicky sound, you know, when you put it in, it goes like click, 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 click.
Yeah.
That, I've actually seen what happens is on an open PS2, why it does that. Actually, it's some weird alignment thing with the arm, with the CD motor that's attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
When it goes to go inside the little hole in the middle of the CD, it actually misses. It doesn't go all the way through, and so it's just spinning on the bottom.
So the disc just doesn't seat correctly, and the little gear
exactly.
Push that thing up gets screwed up.
Exactly. And the way you can fix that is as soon as you hit the disc close button, you can turn your PS2 upside down, and that, for me, fixes it.
Sure, because it'll slide the disc in the little grooves there.
Exactly, and then I turn it right side up. Or if you put, like, scotch tape on the little inside circle underneath on the bottom side.
See, mine has that little flip-top door on it now.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you put it up on its side, it starts making that noise.
Ooh.
Because the door doesn't hold it in quite right, so it'll just start, the disc falls. And then I scream.
You have a janky PS2?
I do have a janky PS2.
One thing
I can play import games on it. So,
that's true.
Guilty Gear Slash for the win. I just said that. Oh, my gosh.
One thing.
The internet has ruined me.
It's ruined a lot of people. The one thing we did forget during the news was we got over at GamesAreFun.com once again.
Yeah, does everybody know about our connections with that site?
I'm a news editor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the connection.
You rule.
Thanks. The Guitar Hero 2 track list, all the songs that are going to be in there, and some of them you may have heard, some of them you haven't, but there's, I believe, 40 in all. Yeah, 40 main songs revealed. Rolling Stones, Guns N' Roses, Rage Against the Machine, Aerosmith, Iggy Pop, Alice in Chains, Foo Fighters, Van Halen, Nirvana, Kiss, Primus, who else is on here? Stone Temple Pilots, Allman Brothers, Jane's Addiction, Anthrax, Rush.
That Rush song is fun.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't played the official PlayStation Magazine demo, they have one at the local GameStop, so check it out. The song's called YYZ. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't listened to Rush in the past, but I think I shall. It's fun, particularly on Expert. It hurts. But in Guitar Hero 2, they made the hammer-ons and pull-offs easier, so you can do that. And the guitars have a new print run. They're actually different machines than they were before.
Yeah.
Like, the buttons and everything are different. I can do stuff on the new ones that I couldn't do on my first-run guitar.
They made it easier to use?
Yeah, it's just something about the way the plastic slides. Like, they use a different kind of plastic. It has a matte finish now. The little subtle things, but it's a pleasure to play on those.
Well,
I'm talking about the demo station, again, at the local GameStop, is using one of these.
Guitar Hero 2 comes out next month, I believe, right? November?
Yeah, November 7th.
November 7th, Guitar Hero 2, and you can all rock out. But if you want to...
And we will.
And we will. And if you want to get a... first look at what's going to be on the game, gamesarefun.com. It's on the front page. I highly encourage you to check out the site. It's, you know, one of the best news sites on the internet, if I do say so myself. everyone does, you know, not that I'm biased or anything, but, you know.
See, I'm not an editor.
Well,
still like it. They've got a guy who translates stuff from Japanese.
Yeah.
You know, they've got, I mean, well, if you're listening to this show, they've got Justin. So
yeah.
I figure you're already probably halfway invested.
Yeah, you know, you might as well take the leap. And by the way, while we're on the subject, if you want to download... Press Start. This week's show, this show actually, the one you may be listening to right now, is actually going to go up right after we finish here this morning. You can check it out. It'll be available for download. We're not going to do any more of this, you know, www.confusingurlname.backslash.html.gov.edu, whatever. It's going to make it really easy now. If you want to download the show, gamesarefun.com, click on blogs. My name is right there at the top of the page. Click on my name and you'll be able to download the show. It'll be in my blog. So, you know, that's a lot easier than trying to remember some crazy URL. So check it out, gamesarefun.com, my blog, and you can download the show. Also, if you want to email the show, once again, we got about 10 minutes left. Press start KCPR at gmail.com. More than happy to hear from you. And if you are listening via download on the internet, stick around because the Press Start post show will be coming up right after we get done here over the airwaves. And the post show is my favorite part of the show because we unbutton the collar, you know, get a little casual.
And you play music in the background. That's fun.
Yeah. So stick around if you're listening via download on the internet. A couple of games that came out. I already mentioned 42 all-time classics. But a couple of games that came out for the PS2 this week. First one, Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner. Should be out today, actually.
Oh.
Comes out today. And I'm proud to say that I actually worked on that game. I was a QA tester on SMT Devil
Show
Summoner.
Show up to GameStop and sign copies. I wonder if the manager would let you do that.
What would it be worth? It would be worth about as much as like a Gatorade, the screw-on cap to a Gatorade bottle or something. Which is to say, not worth anything at all.
That's true. However, the average GameStop shopper, I don't think, knows that.
So we're preying on people.
See, I am an average GameStop shopper, and I have a fair idea how idiotic I am.
So, okay, here's a question for you, Dave. If let's say I were to sign the game, and then you were to like, no, sell it on eBay. How much do you think the increase in price? How much do you think people would bid to get the increase in price? Just because, I mean, QA tester.
Oh, Josh, I don't even think it would matter if you had the lead programmer on something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who's into like the Shin Megami Tensei series is gonna want it.
Yes.
Up front, anyway.
Yeah, and so and consequently, I will not be signing anything because
that's
a form of self aggrandization. So
it's the American way.
Yeah, well, that's true too. So SMT Devil Summoner, proud to say I worked on it, and if you like the Mega Ten series, you know what you're getting. And if you're a hardcore RPG fanatic, you'll probably like SMT Devil Summoner. That comes out today. And also, God Hand, Clover Studios, God Hand is out today. That's the crazy beat-em-up surf rock, just weird,
that's
fun
in the US?
Game. Yeah, it came out in the US.
Oh, cool.
And it's like a budget price too, so...
Really?
It's a beat-em-up. It's like a 30-hour game for budget price. I mean, it's pretty good.
I'm a cheapskate. I'm going to pick that up.
And it's,
I want to play Okami first.
And
though.
It's funny. God Hand is funny, 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 funny. And a lot of laughs if you pick up God Hand. And
see, I don't know. I that game was hyped a lot. They're like, hey, guys, it's funny. OMGs, funny.
It
funny,
is
funny.
Funny.
But that's the thing, though. It's like every news story talks about how funny it is on the internet. So it's gotten to the point where I kind of feel like it might get played up too much.
Well, I mean,
so I'm going to say I'm not reading anything about it. I'm going to pick it up at some point.
Okay. Well,
if I laugh my rump off, that's great.
Let me. Speaking of rumps, let me ask you this, Dave. Speaking of
where
rumps,
can you possibly be going with that?
So do you find any appeal in being able to bend a demon over your knee and spank them on the rump at warp speed? As an attack,
I can't
to cause damage
say
to
that's anything I've ever, you know, say fantasized about doing.
Uh-huh. Well, join the party, Dave. Everyone's doing
thing
it.
Might appeal to the Star Trek fans.
Well, but it is. It's pretty funny. I mean, you spanking a demon really fast to kill him. I mean, that's funny. That's humor. That's comedy. That's
I can see it. I think I need to see it. I see to see a picture of it.
Okay. Well, God Hand comes out today, nevertheless. So
check it out.
Check it out. Yeah, check it out. And yeah, and I mean,
and
anything you want to add to that?
Not really.
No.
God Hand.
Anything you're looking forward to this fall, Dave?
Guitar Hero 2 is probably the number one game I'm looking forward to. I mean, I've already set up a wonderful history for myself as the kind of guy who buys games and doesn't play them, because the Xenosaga games, which I've been fanboying about since they came out, you know, I got the third one. I really haven't touched it in a couple of weeks. So I don't know. I'm kind of wondering how far ahead I should look forward to stuff. See, I should just buy old games. I've made nothing but old games. Did that for a while. Saved lots of money.
Oh, I was thinking of the stick the finger.
Hey, that's not me. You stole that from last week.
Oh, Dave.
So when I die, you're going to play that at my funeral, aren't you?
I was going to put that on your tombstone. as your, whatever they call it. I forget what it's called on the tombstone.
Engraving?
Yeah, but there's a name for it, but.
Oh, I was thinking of the stick the finger up the giant butt arcade game.
I was thinking of that too. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was insane.
Guitar Hero comes out November 7th. Or Guitar Hero 2, excuse
Guitar
me.
Guitar Hero 2, the stick the finger up the giant.
No.
Guitar Hero 2 is a wholesome, wonderful game for the entire family.
Yes, if the whole family likes rock and guitars.
I'm going to teach my kids to throw their horns. I don't know.
Yeah. And so it comes out for the PS2 and Xbox 360?
360 version is going to come out sometime in 2007.
Okay,
Red Octane announced they'll have it on all significant systems. I don't know what that means. I think it means not the Phantom.
Okay. So November 7th, that's Guitar Hero 2. And October 31st, or actually November 1st is when you'll be able to get your hands on it. November 1st. You're going to see Final Fantasy XII, huge game, and we're going to have more on that as it comes up in the coming weeks. I think in a couple of weeks, we'll have a Final Fantasy XII show where we talk about FF12 and all what have you. And November 7th, I believe, Elite Beat Agents, which is the sequel to Osu Tatake Uende.
Oh, that's coming out soon.
It is.
I need to play it when done.
For the Nintendo DS, and it looks absolutely awesome. These three guys wearing suits who go around like helping people through music and dancing funny.
The track list is quite pop-ish.
Yeah.
So if you like pop.
But, I mean, it's a fun game, too. It's a fun game, too, so.
Yeah, look that way.
Yeah. What else is coming out this fall? That Yggdrasil Union, the last great Game Boy Advance title. That comes out October 24th.
Oh, is that the sequel to Riviera?
It's like a pseudo... It's like a
spiritual sequel.
Spiritual sequel,
just like
yeah.
Terranigma to Illusion of Gaia.
Exactly.
Or Final Fantasy X to Final Fantasy X-1.
Sting is a very talented developer. They're a lot like Tri-Ace in that they make really off-the-wall sort of bizarre playing RPGs, but Yggdrasil Union is going to be kind of like a tactical RPG. I like to think of it as like a mix between like Fire Emblem and Advance Wars. Or Fire Emblem and Ogre Battle, I guess.
Okay.
So there's like a card element and there's also like a party-to-party battling element like in Advance Wars, and then there's also like you move on the map screen kind of like Fire Emblem. It's going to be an awesome game. It's going to be the last, as I said, the last great GBA game.
Cool.
Before that system is retired. And you've also got Touch Detective, October 24th. That's this wacky, I can't wait for this game. Touch Detective, it's like, it's going to play a lot like Trace Memory. Point and click adventure game type of thing, but it's very bizarre. It's not like, you know, doesn't take itself too seriously, I believe. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's some funny stuff in the game. I got a chance to check it out while I worked at Atlas over the summer. That's going to be an awesome game. And what else is coming out? I can't even think. Gears of War 360, Lost Planet.
How did we miss Gears of War?
I don't know. Lost Planet from Capcom for the Xbox 360.
Lost Planet is in February, isn't it?
Is it 2007?
Yeah, I think so. I put a pre-order down on it.
Okay, so February 2007. Well, even still, Lost Planet looks absolutely awesome. So a lot of good stuff coming out. We'll touch a little bit more on that next week. So
we're getting short on time. Holy cow.
We are. So, you know, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next week. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m. if you like what you hear, tune in to KCPR. You can download on the internet, as I said, gamesarefun.com. Click on my blog. And if you want to email the show, the inbox open 24/7. Press start, kcpr@gmail.com.
And, you know, send us an email if you so much as like it, because, you know, this show gets 10 times as more fun for us to do if people are actually listening
to
exactly.
it. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you don't like it, then tell us what you don't like. We aim to please.
It's still funny if you're not listening, but I prefer if someone's listening. So, anyways.
We've got some people listening.
Thanks for listening once again. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Vecino. Game over. Alright, so you are tuned in now to the Press Start Post Show, where we are joined every week by the specter of Dave's giant head.
I need a copy of Photoshop. And we need a website.
Yeah. You know, this
old
is a
Flash game. Destroy the giant Dave head.
Like a little Gradius ship flying around. There's this giant...
It could be like Missile Command. And only there's like a giant missile in the shape of your head, and you have to shoot it a lot of times before it hits your base.
I played a pinball game once where you had to shoot pinballs up this giant floating head's nose. Take a Break Pinball by Sierra Studios, back when they made games. It was the... what was that game called? Stellar 7? Draxon's Revenge? It was a pinball table based off that. Any of you guys remember that? Serious nerd points, write in, because I'd love to talk to you. Nobody remembers that game.
Oh, goodness. I don't remember that game. Speaking of Sierra, they're coming out with a new Spyro game. What is this, like the 50th Spyro game coming out now?
I really like the first one. Maybe I should play more than that one.
Well, this is supposed to be like the first prequel, the beginning of the legend or somewhat, or you play as like Spyro as a child.
Spyro's mom giving birth to Spyro. Like the last level's just...
No. Dragons lay eggs. They don't give live birth.
And since when have games been historically accurate?
Anyway, by the way, any dragon biologists out there, if you feel free
or
to refute one of
them. Any dragons for that matter.
Any dragon. If you're a dragon and you can use a keyboard and want to email the show, and we'd like to know exactly how you give birth, specifically if you're a female dragon.
Don't send pictures.
No pictures. Oh, man, this is the best post show we've ever done.
This is
just
the second
so far.
Post show
what are we, like, 2 minutes
had.
In?
So it's a new Spyro game, huh?
Yeah, new Spyro game coming out. I did want to mention, we talked about God Hand in the regular show.
Dragon. God Hand.
God Hand. God Hand. God Hand doesn't give birth. God's hand is a hand.
Okay, that's an image I didn't need.
Okay. The God Hand, the game, IGN posted their review today. You know what score they gave it?
No, I don't.
3.0. A 3 out of 10?
Oh, I thought it might have been out of, like, 3. Or...
What? No, 3 out of 10. What is this crap?
Is it a crappy game?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, I can understand where people might say, oh, the walls clip, or, oh, you know, there are a couple of, like, graphical glitches that don't look good, but they're mostly, like, pop-in and, you know, wall clipping. But a 3? A 3 out of 10? A 3 means bad, according to IGN scale. IGN is
like it.
It's an absolute joke. Oh, my goodness. IGN is an absolute joke. They gave a high score to a game that just came out recently, and I forget what it is. Some game they gave, like, a really high score to, and then every other review was, like, a 6 out of 10 or whatnot. I forget what the game is titled, but this is a 3. A 3 should be reserved for games that are so bad they're unplayable.
Oh, I would think that'd be, like, a 1 or, like, a 0.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, I can think of very few games that I would give, like, a 1 or a 0 to. But, for example, one of the worst games I've ever played, which is Magna Carta Tears of Blood, I would say that's, like, a 3 or 4 out of 10.
See, I watched my brother play in that game. He loved it. I'd give that game a 6 or 7. Not something I think everybody should play. But you get into it, there's a lot of depth there.
Well, the battle system is great. Everything else is absolute crap. Here's what I don't understand about Magna Carta. Okay, you have, during the cutscenes, people can either be walking or speaking, but they can't be doing both. If you've ever noticed the cutscenes, no one ever speaks while moving. And so you get this weird, like, stiff, like, talk and then walk somewhere and then stop and then talk again. And it's like the exposition of the story is just atrocious.
And the voice acting was pretty bad.
Yeah, the voice acting was horrible too. But even then, I would still say that's a 3 or a 4 game. But I mean, the elements were so bad that it merits a 3 or a 4. God Hand is on purpose being dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a game made on comedy. It's not being bad for the sake of, like, trying to be a good game.
No, but they didn't, like, make a bad game and be like, haha, we got you guys. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's irony, kids. You bought a crappy game.
Good
thing we budget priced it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is budget priced, and, you know, the game's not, like, the highest polished game ever, but it was made, like, the voice acting is all over the top. It's kind of like, it reminds me of the voice acting from, like, Killer 7 or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It was made that way on purpose. It's, like, supposed to be a humorous game. It's not, you know... I don't know. A three out of 10 is a joke to me for that kind of game.
Well, I mean, I haven't played it, so I have to reserve judgment. Although I should mention, you know, I just said 6 or 7 for Magna Carta, and my justification for that was because I thought it was pretty good. That occurs to me that I just use the rating scale. Anything over 5 is automatically in the good range. Anything under 5 is in the bad range. So maybe I should rethink that. Maybe 5 should be an average game. Maybe most games are actually kind
of
good.
Well, I would personally like to see 5 be the score of an average game. And I think it's a little too late now. I think it's too late for the review rating system to go to that 5 is an average game. I mean, some people are still trying to do it, but I just think it's been so ingrained since video games started being reviewed that average games are like a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
As opposed to a 5, and that trying to go back now would just throw the whole thing out of whack.
I mean, I think I might have just figured out what's going on. I mean, I just caught myself being ignorant. Look at the first 3 letters of that word.
Igna?
Yeah.
Igna.
Yeah,
as igna. In IGN.com. That's a burn right there.
Didn't hear from me.
That's a burn right there, Dave.
Actually, I use IGN for short trailers and, screenshots and things like that. And I read their reviews, and then I go read other people's reviews. I don't trust reviews online from anybody. I trust reviews from my friends who are playing the game next to me. That I will take on faith alone.
Well, when a game comes out, I like to see what scores it got. And sometimes I'll use reviews to pick up a game that I didn't originally have interest in.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
how
go back
Starsky and
look.
Hutch. That's one of my favorite games.
Yeah. So, but to give God Hand a 3 out of 10 is an absolute joke in my mind. I mean, the game is fun to play. I don't understand.
Maybe it just completes the joke that the game's making.
I could, yeah,
maybe
I guess.
The punchline.
I could, I'm sure,
like,
yeah.
We're going to make this game and IGN's going to hate it.
Maybe Clover.
This is going to be awesome.
Maybe Clover picked up the review and they're just like laughing hysterically, like the jokes on IGN. I don't know. I just thought it was horrible. So, God Hand, as I mentioned, comes out.
So did they.
Comes out today. Yeah. I mean,
I'd like to check it out. I thought,
yeah, God Hand's gonna be cool. I'm gonna check it out too. And it's a budget price, what, $30? I mean, it's like $1 for every hour of entertainment. So, I mean, pretty good.
Then again, Xenosaga 1 promised 80 hours of entertainment. And that was like a 35-hour game if you were slow about it, like I was.
Oh, that.
I mean, yeah, the game would run for 80 hours, sure, guarantee it. But
yeah, well, I thought that was funny too. I mean, it promised 80 hours of entertainment, and it was actually a 35-hour game, and I got 0 hours of entertainment out of it. So, I mean, I don't have.
Watch the cutscenes a couple of times. We'll get 15 hours there.
Cosmos is hot, though, I will say.
She's the most marketable character Namco's come up with in the last few
years.
Yeah,
I like Cosmos.
But, like, I mean, you know, maybe God Hand's promising 30 hours, and it's not going to have quite as many as that.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, no biggie.
Biokami.
Gungrave had an hour and 20 minutes of game in that game, and I keep replaying that game. I got well into my money's worth for that.
I never played Gungrave.
Gungrave is pretty cool. I'll loan it to you sometime.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's the post show for this week. Short and sweet, to the point, God Hand. Pick it up and check at least rent it. I mean, give it a chance. It was a fun game when I played it. And Biokami, like I said, I don't know how much I can stress that. Anything you want to add? Anything your floating head wants to add?
Well, let me ask it. Floating head. The floating head says the wireless Guitar Hero controller sucks.
Well, you should punch you right in the schnoz.
That's my head.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll do it for you if you want.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's the post show for this week. Check out Press Start next week, Wednesdays, 10 a.m. on KCPR, or you can download it via GamesAreFun.com and my blog. Dave.
Justin.
I'll see you next week.
Take care.